Artists are a little bit like magpies. They're attracted by all kinds of materials, and they use most of them to make their art. Take Marie Watt. For almost a decade, Watt has created a series of sculptures out of blankets. She collects them from thrift stores, from friends, from family. And along with the blankets, Watt collects stories from the donors. She calls her finished sculptures blanket stories. Next fall, Tacoma Art Museum will unveil Marie Watt's largest sculpture, a tower of blankets that will stand outside the building. It's her first big outdoor commission, and Watt is excited that the humble blankets will be cast in bronze.
That is a material that historically has been used for busts of famous individuals and equestrian statues, and so all of a sudden to be remembering the blankets and the stories that are attached to them, and people who are attached to them too, is really significant to me.
Well, Marie, take me back to the first inception of a blanket story. What was the original vision that you had?
You know, I think when I first started with blankets, working with blankets, I had just finished a project that was about sleep and sleeplessness. And I don't think that I really realized the degree to which blankets were storied objects until I started collecting them. And I collected them knowing I wanted to make a sculpture that would be a column of folded and stacked blankets, and it might evoke a linen closet. It might evoke a columnar form, or being born and raised in the Pacific Northwest, it might make you think of a totem pole or the conifers here. But that was kind of my first goal. And then what happened is I saw friends and family. They would see these blankets that I would get from thrift stores, anything $5 and under, and usually made out of wool. They would see them and they would kind of break into story, and they would say, oh, I used to have a blanket like that, or my grandmother had a blanket like that. And they would go on and tell a story that they remembered from their childhood. And so I think that I really became interested in how cloth was so loaded with meaning.
Even though men and women and children and dogs and cats use blankets, it is something that I associate with the feminine. And maybe that's just a stereotype, but it's, you know, women weave blankets in many cultures. Women make quilts that go on beds. It seems like something domestic. So how much is there some sort of feminist or proto-feminist thread to blanket stories?
That's an interesting question. I feel like I'm Seneca, and we're one of the six tribes that make up the Iroquois Nation. The suffragists, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, lived in Seneca Falls, New York, and a lot of the thinking that shaped the suffragist movement was actually, some of it was in response to living near Iroquois women, and I like to think of our tribe and our nation as being kind of proto-feminists. And in our communities, our tribal enrollment comes from our mothers. Our clans come through our mothers. Yeah. The ability still to own land, it's the women who own the land in our communities. And then historically, the right to vote always was through women. The women nominated a male representative to lead the community, but it was the women who and clan mothers who would select that individual. So I guess, you know, it's funny. I don't think that I ever have deliberately chose working with fabric or wool blankets as a feminist act, but I think that that's that's probably just an aspect of my identity that I totally assume and embrace as well.
In at least further west, blankets were used in commerce.
Right. And it's really, I mean, one of the things that's interesting to me about that history is in the earliest kind of Hudson Bay blankets, for example, there's a point system on those blankets where there's bars, and the bars actually represent the amount of full-grown beaver pelts or equivalent goods and services that blanket would have been traded for.
Really?
Yeah. And so that is one of the things that I'm sort of interested in is just, you know, how blankets sort of are used in commerce, but how they've kind of migrate too. And I think it's interesting now to think of how eBay shapes commerce in a completely different way. But one thing with blankets I also like looking at is their tags, because they tell a story of where they came from too, or where they traveled from.
Do you only use blankets that you find in various used venues, or have you created blankets for your work?
I oftentimes look for blankets at thrift stores. I have a favorite thrift store in outside of Portland, Oregon that I go to on a regular basis. And then I also trade a small silkscreen print for blankets and blanket stories. And I think at some point in my process where I realized that I was interested in gathering stories, that became a part of my process. But I also think I was doing a pretty ambitiously scaled project that was going to benefit from that exchange.
You mentioned that you're interested in blankets and the stories behind the blankets. How do you preserve those stories?
On each blanket, when they're arranged in the sculpture, they will basically get a little wax number that will be permanently cast into the piece. So it will become a little bronze cast number. And then on the tag, that number will also be transcribed. And so we will know what blanket story corresponds with that number.
I was just trying to count up how many blankets have crossed your path. Hundreds? Thousands?
Oh, probably thousands. Definitely thousands.
Do you reject them or are they all accepted?
No, they're all accepted. Yeah, I think one of the things that's also part of my practice is I hold open to the community sewing circles. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I like about those sewing circles is how everybody's stitch is unique. And I kind of like to think of it as a signature or a thumbprint. And then that thread becomes a metaphor for how we're all connected and related. And so I think that of the blankets having that kind of character as well. And they are storied objects. And so one of the things or roles that I give myself, I guess, is I feel like I'm a custodian of these stories and a custodian of these blankets. I think one of the things that's fun about working with them in a project like this is unfolding each one and handling it and refolding it and looking at its stories. And it's a really kind of special experience to be involved in that kind of exchange with other people and a person who has this relationship with this object.
One thing I got when my son was born were blankets, three of them that are in the closet.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking about parting with blankets or you receiving them. And I was wondering if there are any of these hundreds of things that have crossed your path over the years, any particular objects and or stories that have really stuck with you as you do this work?
Yeah, I mean, I think the hard part is choosing which stories. I mean, there's stories about people's favorite animals, and there's stories about children who are no longer with us. And one blanket story that came in some time ago came from a man who received this blanket when he was in a concentration camp. And when he was liberated, he was given this blanket. And he and his wife continued to use the blanket and transform its use to this object that actually carried artwork and things that they kind of collected. And I feel like when I was given that blanket, that's when I started thinking about the act of being a custodian and sharing these stories. Those stories really touch me and move me, and I do want to share them.
That's artist Marie Watt. Tacoma Art Museum unveils her first major outdoor commission in November, but you don't have to wait until then to see her sculptures. An exhibition of some of Watt's artwork is at Seattle's Greg Kucera Gallery through the end of June.